Let us turn our hearts to God in prayer as I offer our prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you again in prayer on this beautiful Sunday morning. And as the light of the sun streams in through the windows here in the sanctuary, we think about how your word illumines for us your love and your commands for us. As we read from your word to us in scripture this day, we pray for the illumination of your Holy Spirit. Would you be present with us here, O God, by your Spirit, that the words of scripture, the reflections that I offer, and the meditations of all of our hearts in them, O God, that we would hear you speaking living words that would guide us to a deeper and a closer relationship with you and a clearer understanding of your call for our lives. All of this we pray, O God, in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At the beginning of this week, as I was preparing our bulletin, I thought that I would be preaching a different sermon this Sunday than the one I find myself about to preach. But sometimes as ministers, we hear God speaking and moving through the events of the world around us. And this week is one of those weeks for me where today, at the end of the week or beginning of whatever, I find myself inspired to take my sermon somewhere where at the beginning of the week, I had not started. So for my scripture passage this morning, I'll be reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for God's holy word. Paul writes saying, "If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. These past few weeks, we have been watching and hearing about an unjust invasion unfold in Ukraine. The action of the Russian forces have been terrible to hear about and disturbing to witness. On the other hand, the bravery and resistance of the Ukrainian people in the face of their more powerful opponents has been in many ways uplifting and inspiring. One element of the war that has been impossible to ignore has been the story of Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky. This week at my Thursday morning Rotary Club meeting, many of the members gave their own testimony about how inspired they've been by Zelensky's example. And many international observers expected that when Russia first invaded Ukraine, with the clear goal of toppling Zelensky and his government, that Zelensky and his fellow top officials would flee the country to find safety beyond the reach of Putin and his forces. Volodymyr Zelensky, of course, defied those expectations. He did not leave his country, but he stayed. He has stayed with his feet squarely planted on his people's land, and most importantly, he has stayed with his people. The decision to stay has not been the only inspiring thing about Zelensky's choices and actions. The way in which he has been staying has also been inspirational. Unlike most world leaders, Zelensky has been with his people in many different respects. He isn't staying, for example, in a specially protected palace or isolated safe house. He is not in some white tower high above the experience of his own people, but instead, when we see him on the same streets and in the same cities and bunkers and war zones. Zelensky's form of communication has also been very different from what we have come to expect from national leaders. He's not using state media or camera crews or official lines of communication to get out his messages of encouragement and his appeals to the world. Instead, he's using the tools that many of us have access to in our own pockets. He's holding his own smartphone out and recording videos to communicate with people over social media. And when Zelensky makes an appearance, we see that he is not dressed like we are used to seeing presidents dress. These past 2 weeks, we have seen many world leaders on the news. We have seen Vladimir Putin. We've seen France's president, Emmanuel Macron. We've seen our own president and our own members of Congress. And these leaders have been wearing the suits and the ties and the formal clothing that we normally associate with leadership. But since the invasion of Ukraine, Zelensky has not been seen wearing a suit and a tie, but instead a simple green t-shirt and the same dress and military equipment as his countrymen and women who are fighting in the streets and the fields to protect and defend their country. On social media, a pair of images have been going around comparing Volodymyr Zelensky to his opponent, Vladimir Putin. The image of Zelensky that I am speaking of shows him in a small, dark bunker. The colors behind him are earthy brown. He is sitting at a table, cramped in and closely packed together with other men dressed in the same military garb. On the table in front of them, there is a simple meal of bread and fruit. And in the image, the men are clearly chatting and talking with one another. And despite the dangers and the sorrows around them, there are the hints of cheer on their faces. This image to me evokes feelings of deep fellowship, love, brotherhood, and communion. And paired on social media with this image is a contrasting image of Russian President Vladimir Putin. It is an image taken from the same time period. And we see Putin seated at a table with several other men, but rather than being a small, cramped, dark bunker, these men are in the high-ceilinged room that looked like it has been chiseled from white marble with golden flourishes. Immobile statues stand in porticos along the walls. The light in the room is a sterile white light. Putin is wearing a dark blue suit and he is seated at the head of the table, and far, far away at the other end of this long table sit a few men in military garb, medals hanging from their chests. Their backs are pinned straight. Their hands rest uneasily on the table in front of them, and there is no cheer on their faces. The size and empty space of the room and the table, the forced grandeur of that space, the postures of the men, the stillness of the statues, the image is, for my reading, completely devoid of any sense of fellowship or communion. Instead, it evokes feelings of fear. The contrast between these two images is stark. Both men have the same name, one in its Ukrainian spelling and pronunciation, and the other in Russian. They share a name, but these two images show us that besides their names, they seem to share very little else in common. And many in our world have been inspired by the actions, decisions, and the way in which Volodymyr Zelensky has stayed with his people. And why? Why, I wonder, why are his decisions so inspiring? Why do these details about his choices of clothing and company and communication and his way, why do they touch and inspire something within us? Personally, I believe that Zelensky, wittingly or unwittingly, as for these past 2 weeks, he has been in many ways, he has chosen a Christ-like path. Oh no, my sermon's all screwed up. He has chosen a Christ-like path. I know you guys like it when I preach extemporaneously, so I probably should just do that, right? Okay, Zelensky has chosen a Christ-like path. We are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God, and we who are people who profess to be people of faith, we also have been reformed, recreated in Christ's image. And so when we see a Christ-like example, we can't help but be touched and be moved and be inspired by it. As Christians, as followers of Christ, as people who believe and put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and the Son of God, we profess to believe in a God and a Savior who did not take the comforts and the safety of heaven as something to be exploited for his own gain and comfort. But Christ, we know, emptied himself. He emptied himself of the privileges of his place in heaven, and he came here to earth and took on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and coming into this world, into our plane of existence, and experienced the temptations, the trials, the troubles, and the sorrows of these human lives which we share. Jesus, our God, our Savior, did not stay high and lofty above us, but he joined us. He humbled himself even to the point of dying for us on the cross and being buried in a grave on our account. Jesus came, and we know that he shared table fellowship with his friends. He did this in dark and cramped rooms, eating simple meals, even as his opponents, beyond the walls of those rooms, plotted his capture and his death. And despite the troubles and the sorrows and the dangers and the threats of the world outside of those bunker-like dining rooms, Jesus shared fellowship and love and laughter and communion with his friends. Paul, in his letter to the Christians in Philippi, he draws to mind the example of Christ. And Paul called his friends to embody this example, the example of a Savior who emptied himself to become truly Emmanuel, a name which means God with us. Christ humbled himself, and the result, Paul reminds us, was Christ's glorification. President Zelensky has likewise humbled himself, wearing the common clothing, speaking common words, eating common food, sharing the trials and tribulations, the same bunkers and besieged cities and streets as his people. He has humbled himself, and we, observing from our places of comfort and safety, we see the glory in that humility. My friends, this Lenten season, my goal was to focus on the topic of evangelism. And this is an inspiring example from the president of Ukraine. God speaks to us through this example, and its clear resonance with the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians. For God calls us to love one another. God calls us to live lives that are patterned, inspired, and find their source in our Savior, our humbled Savior, Jesus Christ. As Christ did not regard the high and lofty safety of heaven above the troubles and trials of this world as something to be exploited, but humbled himself, so are we called to empty ourselves and to seek to be in humble fellowship with the people whom God has put in our communities and in our lives. We recognize that there are some in this world. There are some in this world who lack what we have here at church. They lack a place to come and weekly be reminded that God is with them, that God loves them, that God has forgiven their sins, and that God is working to make them new. They lack what we have found here in this place, a community where they can hear the message of salvation, but also experience the blessings of the community life that the message of salvation gathers and forms together. They lack the community where they can be loved and cared for, as we have been loved and cared for by God and by one another. We feel God calling us evangelistically to go out and to do our part to help gather in those who lack this community where they can hear and experience the message of God's love and salvation. And as we go, we find ourselves driven and compelled to reach out. Our calling is to go in the model of Christ. Our calling is to go as Zelensky has gone for these past 2 weeks, humbly, emptied of our privileges, not prizing first and foremost our own rights or our own comfort, but instead interested in the ways that show that we stand with the weak and the powerless, and in ways that build and express and promote fellowship and love and communion. We go interested in being truly with others as Christ has truly been with us. Emmanuel, God with us. There is another image that this week God has touched my heart through. The image is a picture of the statue, a statue of Christ, being removed from a church in Ukraine to be placed in a bunker for safekeeping. The statue of Christ is from a crucifix, so it depicts a life-size statue of Jesus in the agony of death. His face is marred, and his features are streaked with blood. And in this image captured in Ukraine, this rigid Christ figure is being taken down off of his cross and is being carried by several Ukrainian men. And this image of the crucified cross being carefully carried evokes Christ being taken off the cross to be placed in the tomb on that first Good Friday. And personally, seeing those Ukrainian men carry that crucified Christ towards a bunker, I hear and I see in this image a message from God. In times of war and violence, we often wonder, where is God? Where is God in all of this conflict and sorrow and destruction? And we pray for God's intervention. And I believe that humility calls us to admit that it is impossible to say with any certainty where God is and where God is not in the midst of historic events, whether triumphant or tragic. However, I hear God speaking to me through this image of the crucified Christ headed towards a Ukrainian bunker. I hear God speaking to me through this Christ on his way to join the Ukrainian people in a place of shelter from bombs and mortars and missiles. I hear God reminding me that in times of conflict and war and destruction and death, God has promised to be with us. What scripture tells us is that God is always with us. God has, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, entered each and every one of our hearts. And so no matter where we go, nor what is done to us, God has promised to go with us and to be with us always. Christ's death on the cross, his entry into the grave, our profession that he descended even into hell, it affirms to us that there is no place, no experience where Christ cannot and has not already gone with us and for us. Christ truly is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Emmanuel, God with God's people. So let us make his joy complete, as Paul says. Let us make his joy complete, and let us in all that we do, in our worship, in our fellowship, in our evangelism, in all that we do and say, let us be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord. Amen.